On what station can you hear talk shows, country music, Gaelic music, oldies, funk, and more? Why, it's the University of Central Missouri's The Beat, the best in college radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Inside the Diamond. This is the 8th episode of the show, and oh my goodness, am I excited about this one. We got a lot to talk about this week. First off, I'm going to tell you about what happened this past week of the season and give you injury updates and all the stuff like that. Then I'll do power rankings, and let me tell you guys, they're pretty interesting from MLB.com, and I'll make predictions for this week and more. That's all coming up on UCM The Beat. So let's talk about what happened on Tuesday with some of the games. The Rangers walked off against the Royals in extra innings. It was a 10-inning game. Unfortunately, Scott Barlow, the Royals closer, well, closer, I guess you could say, could not close out the door and gave up a 3-run homer to Jonah Heim, and the Royals lost. The Yankees destroyed the Guardians, though. The Orioles beat the Athletics, but the game was very, very close. I mean, the Oakland Athletics don't give up. You know, they're going to fight until the very last out, like every single MLB team should do. But the results are just not showing, unfortunately. The Pirates walked off against the Astros. It was a walk-off 3-run homer. The Rays absolutely destroyed the Red Sox to keep their winning streak alive. The Marlins beat the Phillies. Luis Arraez had the first Marlins cycle in franchise history. Now, for those of you who do not know what a cycle is, I'll explain it to you. It's a single, double, triple, and home run all in the same game. It's only been done 340 times in the MLB's long history, so it's very rare that it happens. The Blue Jays destroyed the Tigers. Nobody's surprised about that because the Blue Jays are a fantastic team. They got hitters on there like Vlad Jr. They have Bo Bichette. They have Kevin Biggio, who actually is related to Craig Biggio, for those of you who did not know. The Padres eked by the Mets. The Braves beat the Reds by 1 run. The game was very close until the very end. The Cubs absolutely destroyed the Mariners, courtesy of an 8-run third inning. Yes, I heard. Yes, you heard that right. 8-run third inning. It was 9-7 by the third inning, and that's a pretty good baseball game. That's like back-and-forth action, you know. The Twins beat the White Sox in extra innings. The Cardinals beat the Rockies. Nobody's really surprised by that. The air out in Colorado allowed the Cardinals to hit 3 home runs in that game. The Angels shut out the Nationals. The Brewers destroyed the Diamondbacks. And lastly, the Giants shut out the Dodgers, and I don't know what's going on with the Dodgers this year. Let's talk about the Wednesday games before I get into the Dodgers too much. The Royals obliterated the Rangers on Wednesday, and that was a very good game. Brad Keller did outstanding for this game. He went 6 2/3, which is a pretty good start. It's a quality start. The only run he allowed was in the first inning, courtesy of a Nathaniel Lowe home run. And then the Royals never looked back after that. The Astros shut out the Pirates, and I think the Pirates are starting to fall back down to earth. The Mets beat the Padres to get back into the win column. The Twins beat the White Sox. The Guardians, unfortunately, could not get anything going against the Yankees, and they lost courtesy of a go-ahead single in the 9th inning by Oswaldo Cabrera, who's also another rookie. The Mariners got their revenge by beating the Cubs. The Cardinals once again beat the Rockies. The Diamondbacks beat the Brewers. The Marlins beat the Phillies in extra innings. I think the Marlins are going to be one of those sneaky good teams this year. You know, they got some good hitters. They got Jorge Soler. They have Luis Arraez, who they got from Minnesota, actually. The Angels beat the Nationals. The Athletics beat the Orioles to get their revenge. The Rays nearly lost, but were able to beat the Boston Red Sox. The Red Sox tried to come back, but unfortunately, after the 7th inning, they could not get anything going on the offense, and the Rays pitching just shut them down. So now they're 12-0 to start the season, which is pretty significant. Well, they lost later on in the week, but we'll get to that in just a teeny tiny bit. The Blue Jays walked off against the Tigers courtesy of a walk-off single by George Springer. The Braves were able to beat the Reds, and the Dodgers were able to get their revenge against the Giants. Now let's talk about the Thursday games. The Orioles survived the Athletics and walked it off courtesy of Adley Rutschman, who's having a fantastic start to the year. The Rays destroyed the Red Sox, and that would prove to be pretty significant because they tied the MLB record with wins to start a season with 13 in a row. I mean, they tied the 1987 Brewers and the 1982 Braves for the best start in the entire MLB. That's pretty good. The Reds beat the Phillies. The Twins destroyed the Yankees courtesy of a 9-run first inning. The Tigers beat the Blue Jays. The Pirates shut out the Cardinals. Last but not least, the Brewers beat the Padres in extra innings. Let's move on to Friday games. And Friday games, I don't really want to talk about these, but I have to. The Braves absolutely dominated the Royals. It was not even close from the very first pitch. Brady Singer was just leaving pitches over the middle of the plate, and you cannot do that in the major leagues, not against the Atlanta Braves. The Braves are off to a scorching hot start. They've won 7 in a row after starting 6-4. That's pretty impressive. The Tigers walked off against the Giants in 11 innings. That was a very close game. The Phillies beat the Reds. The Marlins beat the Diamondbacks. The Guardians, to no one's surprise, beat the Nationals. The Twins once again beat the Yankees, but the Yankees were dominating in the first inning on back-to-back home runs. One by Anthony Volpe, who is the Yankees' top prospect, and he got his first major league home run on that pitch. And then Aaron Judge proceeded to hit a home run to deep center field. And unfortunately, after that, the Yankees just couldn't get the bats going. The Blue Jays, in a complete shocker, beat the Rays, and that was their first loss of the season. So, unfortunately, the Rays will not go 162-0. But hey, they were on the right track. The Red Sox beat the Angels. The Orioles beat the White Sox. The Rangers beat the Astros. The Cardinals shut out the Pirates. The Mets destroyed the Athletics. I mean, in that game, the Mets had 2 6-run innings. 2 6-run innings. That's 12 runs. That's pretty impressive. I mean, I'll tell you guys the score if you want to know it, which you probably don't, but anyways, I'm going to tell you. The final score was 17-6. 17-6! The Brewers destroyed the Padres. The Cubs beat the Dodgers in a complete shocker. And the Mariners beat the Rockies. Now, on Saturday, the Braves beat the Royals, and that game, again, was not even close. The Yankees beat the Twins to get back into the win column, so they're rolling right now. The Tigers walked off once again in 11 innings. The White Sox walked off the Orioles in extra innings as well. The Pirates beat the Cardinals. The Blue Jays beat the Rays for the second straight day. The Guardians once again beat the Nationals to secure the series win. The Padres finally got back into the win column by beating the Brewers. The Mets beat the Athletics by 1 run. The Red Sox beat the Angels. The Reds dominated the Phillies and shut them out. The Marlins beat the Diamondbacks. The Astros completely dominated the Rangers. And the Dodgers squeaked out a win with a 2-run single in the 9th inning to walk it off on Jackie Robinson Day. For those of you who don't know what Jackie Robinson Day is, I'm going to tell you. Jackie Robinson Day is a celebration of Jackie Robinson, who was the first player to break the Major League Baseball color barrier, and he is an absolute star. So every single player on this day wears number 42. The Mariners absolutely destroyed the Rockies. Now let's move on to Sunday games, and the Braves beat the Royals to sweep the series. Now, I was not surprised by this. I expected them to lose by like 20 runs at this point, but they only won by 1 because in the bottom of the 8th, Vinny Pasquantino proceeded to hit a 2-run homer that tied the game. And Unfortunately, once again, Scott Barlow could not get the job done. The Red Sox secured this series win by beating the Angels. It was a four-game series. The Nationals upset the Guardians 7-6, courtesy of a go-ahead single by Joey Meneses. The Yankees shut out the Twins, and Garrett Cole got a complete game shutout in this game. The Rays got back in the win column by beating the Blue Jays. The Phillies destroyed the Reds. Hey, I guess Cincinnati should have saved some of those runs for Sunday. The Diamondbacks beat the Marlins. The Orioles beat the White Sox. The Cardinals walked it off in extra innings to secure the series win. The Mets beat the Athletics in extra innings to sweep them. The Cubs beat the Dodgers. That was a complete shocker to me. The Mariners beat the Rockies to sweep the series. The Brewers beat the Padres to secure the series win. The Rangers destroyed the Astros. And unfortunately, the Giants and the Tigers game was postponed due to rain. Let's move on to Monday games. And the Rangers shut out the Royals, but Jordan Lyles had a good start. He went eight innings, giving up four runs, two earned runs, three strikeouts, and three walks, which is not too bad. Jacob DeGrom, I'll talk about him in here in just a little bit. Something happened, but I think he'll be fine. The Angels somehow squeaked out a win against the Red Sox. The Reds beat the Rays. The Marlins beat the Giants. The Diamondbacks beat the Cardinals. The Astros destroyed the Blue Jays. I honestly thought that the Blue Jays were going to win that game because of who was pitching, but I mean, I guess I was wrong. The Pirates destroyed the Rockies to nobody's surprise. The Pirates are actually going to be sneakingly good, I think. I know it's early in the season, but I still think they're going to be competitive at least in the NL Central. The Cubs beat the Athletics. The Braves beat the Padres. The Brewers beat the Mariners. And last but not least, the Mets beat the Dodgers. And the Dodgers' record is now 8-9. They are under 500 for the first time in a long time. The Guardians and the Tigers got postponed along with the Phillies and White Sox. Those games are being made up today. It's a doubleheader for both teams, and, you know, we'll see how those do. Let's move on to the injury news for all the major teams. The Royals, Chris Bubich is on the 15-day injured list with a left flexor strain. He is currently seeking a second opinion. Both Drew Waters and Daniel Lynch are expected to come back in May pending any setbacks. For the Diamondbacks, Zach Davies has a left strained oblique. He underwent further testing, and the injury is more than a grade 1 oblique strain, so he will be out for several weeks. And catcher Carson Kelly began playing catch and will begin light baseball activities this week. For the Atlanta Braves, good news for you Braves fans. Guess what? The Max Attack is back! Max Fried has been activated from the injured list after straining his left hamstring in his first start against the Nationals. Orlando Arcia is still injured with a microfracture in his left wrist. They called up Vaughn Grissom in the Royals series, and he did okay for the most part. They also have a lot of bullpen pieces on the injured list, but they have a good bullpen with guys that are ready to take the next step, and they're ready to be the next man up. For the Orioles, Ramon Urias was hit in the head with a fastball in the seventh inning and is undergoing further tests. Keegan Aiken, who is a big bullpen piece for the Orioles, is expected to be back either today or tomorrow. For the Red Sox, holy moly, do they have a lot of significant injuries. Adam Duvall, who was the best hitter on the Red Sox prior to this week, is not expected to be back until June at the earliest. And that's going to really kill the Red Sox, especially in a division like the AL East with the Rays this year. The Yankees are going to be a powerhouse once again. Trevor Story will be out until July or possibly even after. Mondesi is expected back to be May 30th at the earliest. He will likely get the shortstop position until Trevor Story comes back to the game. For the Chicago Cubs, Kyle Hendricks threw a simulated game and felt great. He is expected to be back next month. For the White Sox, Hanser Alberto, a utility player, is on the injured list with a left quad strain. This doesn't really affect them that much. The White Sox have a lot of other good players, and he will be back later on this month. Yoan Moncada is also expected to be back at some point this season. There is no timetable for his return. This is definitely an impact because this man is a special talent when he's on the field. In other news, Liam Hendricks, the closer for the White Sox for the past two seasons, has beaten cancer, so that's good for him. Congratulations. He had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and his expected return is to be determined. For the Reds, Joey Votto is expected to return this month. He will continue rehab in Cincinnati until the Reds decide to pull him off the injured list. And he had a rehab assignment, and he struggled. He had 21 strikeouts. He was 7 for 34 with 6 hits. Excuse me, 7 hits, apparently. I can't speak. 1 home run and 21 strikeouts. 21 strikeouts is way too much for a power-hitting first baseman. Now, Joey Votto, I think he's getting to the end of his rope. He needs to retire here pretty soon. His bones are getting kind of old. For the Cleveland Guardians, Amed Rosario is not in the lineup today with back soreness. For the Rockies, Daniel Bard is ready to make his return. He struck out 3 of the 4 batters he faced during a rehab assignment. 2 Rocky starters are on the injured list, those being Germán Márquez and Antonio Senzella. Germán Márquez has right forearm inflammation, and Antonio is recovering from left ACL surgery. Also, Randall Grichuk is expected to be back later on this month. For the Tigers, Matt Manning, one of the Tigers' starting pitchers, is out for 6 weeks with a right foot fracture. Chaz McCormick is good to pinch run again after being lifted for vision issues. And let me tell you guys, vision issues could be bad for outfielders because you cannot see the ball if you have vision issues, obviously. And if a ball hits you in the face, well, good luck coming back from that injury. The Angels, David Fletcher is so close to coming back. He is on a rehab assignment in AAA Salt Lake. And also, Jared Walsh is expected to be back in early May, which is good news for them. He's a very talented first baseman. For the Dodgers, Chris Taylor had to leave the game with a left side injury. And also, Will Smith was placed on the 7-day injured list with a concussion. Now, concussions seem to be pretty common for catchers these days because, you know, they take foul tips off the mask, and that's not exactly good. For the Marlins, Avisaíl García is day-to-day with a right wrist contusion after being hit on the hand. Joey Wendell has continued to hit off a tee and do defensive drills. And Johnny Cueto threw a 35-pitch bullpen session. He has been dealing with this injury off and on ever since spring training, and I guess it finally got to him. But he threw a 35-pitch bullpen session, and he should be good to go here in just a few weeks. For the Brewers, Corbin Burns is day-to-day with a left pec strain, and Brandon Woodruff was also injured. He has a right shoulder strain, and guys, this is bad for the Brewers. That is a lethal, and I'm talking lethal, 1-2 punch in the Brewers' rotation. Corbin Burns, one of the most talented pitchers ever, and Brandon Woodruff, who also has great strikeout numbers like Corbin Burns. For the Twins, Max Kepler has been activated from the injured list, which is good news for the Twins. Joey Gallo is expected to return either today or tomorrow, which I think it'll be tomorrow because the Red Sox have Chris Sale going tonight. Lefty-lefty is not exactly a good matchup for Joey Gallo, especially against Chris Sale. For the Mets, Max Scherzer was originally supposed to pitch the finale against the Athletics. He was scratched from that start due to back soreness. He will now start against the Dodgers in the series finale. For the Yankees, Giancarlo Stanton has been placed on the injured list with a left hamstring strain. This is a huge injury for the Yankees. He's one of their best hitters. He can hit the ball out of the ballpark with one swing of the bat. Josh Donaldson, who is also dealing with a hamstring tightness, is expected to play in a minor league rehab game today. He could be activated as early as tomorrow, which is good news because he's a very good third baseman. But he's getting injured a lot more than he once did early on in his career. Harrison Bader is expected to be back either later on in April or early May. Carlos Rodon is also expected back in May after he dealt with back stiffness. For the Athletics, Paul Blackburn is expected to be back this month after losing a fingernail. He came out of his rehab start with a blister, unfortunately, and that set him back, so he could be back later on this month, but you never know. Ranger Suarez for the Phillies threw 40 pitches in a side session, and he felt great. He's expected to be back either late this month or early next month. For the Pirates, Austin Hedges has been activated from the concussion list. O'Neill Cruz is expected to be back in August, which is pretty good news for the Pirates because their lineup is also, they're producing somewhat, but O'Neill Cruz is really what's going to make or break the playoff push for them. For the Padres, Luis Campusano is on the injured list with a left thumb strain. Joe Musgrove has returned to the team, and he is hoping to start this weekend. Drew Pomeranz is almost back, which is good for the bullpen because the Padres have a lot of bullpen pieces that are missing with injuries. For the Giants, this is not good. Jock Peterson is on the injured list with right wrist inflammation. Roberto Perez will miss the remainder of the season with a surgery to repair a right rotator cuff. Mitch Haniger, though, is expected to be back in mid-April after suffering a grade 1 left oblique strain, so that tells me he's almost back. Robbie Ray is expected to be back in May, like I said the last time, with a left flexor strain. Andres Munoz, who is a big piece of the bullpen, played catch on Friday and felt no pain or discomfort in his shoulder after suffering a right deltoid strain, so that is good news for the Mariners. For the Cardinals, Adam Wainwright is scheduled to make a rehab start tomorrow. He is so close to getting back, and Paul DeJong is closer to getting back. He is back to hitting drills, which is good news. For the Rays, this is not good for their starting rotation. Jeffrey Springs is likely headed to the injured list with left ulnar neuritis, which, for those of you who do not know, it aggravates the elbow, and that could be bad news for pitchers, especially lefties. For the Rangers, Corey Seager is expected to be back in mid-May. Jacob DeGrom had to leave his start yesterday with right wrist soreness after 4 no-hit innings. That could be a big hit to the Rangers rotation, who has started off very good so far this season. For the Toronto Blue Jays, Jose Barrios is expected to make his next start. He took a comebacker off the leg and made the play before exiting the game, most likely as a precaution. And last but not least, for the Nationals, Sean Doolittle is throwing bullpen sessions after his elbow injury. Last season, he had a partial UCL tear in his left elbow. Corey Dickerson is expected to be back this month after leaving the game with a left calf strain. And that does it for the injuries. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break coming up. I'll be talking about power rankings according to MLB.com. I'll tell you which teams have moved up, which teams have gone down, and more. Stay tuned. Keep it locked in right here. You're listening to Inside the Diamond right here on UCM The Beat.
Did you know that it costs $0 to make someone smile? A simple act of kindness can go a long way. You may walk past tons of people a day, not even knowing their story. Someone could probably be having one of the worst days, but a simple compliment on their outfit or even helping them out with a small task can change a bad day to a good one. No matter what, always try to give your neighbor a reason to smile.
Tobacco use affects youths all across the United States. Millions of youth are at risk for disease and even death due to tobacco use. Talk to your kids about tobacco use and how it can affect their lungs. Help keep the future of this nation safe from tobacco-related illnesses.
According to a study by IBM, 95% of all cybersecurity breaches result from human error. That adds up to about $3.13 million of loss in 2020 alone, and accounts for acts like downloading infected files or software and storing weak passwords in easy-to-find places. When everything is online, you can't afford to not be. Protect yourself and others online. Learn more and how at CISA.gov.
Hey, Dr. Phil here. I help people solve difficult and trying personal problems every day on my TV show, but there's one problem that's just got me stumped. Childhood hunger. Nearly 16 million children in America struggle with it. That's one in five kids who may not know where their next meal is coming from, despite the fact that there's more than enough healthy, nutritious food out there to feed them all. Now, I don't know about you, but that is unacceptable to me. Luckily, the Feeding America network of good people is out there collecting surplus food and giving hope to hungry children and their families at local food banks all across the country. But let's face it, they can't do it without your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
Music is a bridge between the material and the spiritual. My name is Harvey Lauer, and I'm 82. As a blind person, you have to be aware that nobody can tell you what you can or can't do. You really have to try things. My folks got me a little radio in 1940, and that was the best Christmas present I ever got. When I was 11 years old is when I started to play music, play the piano, and then the accordion, and then the cello. My wife, who was also blind, was a good cook. When she died, that's when I started Meals on Wheels. America, let's do lunch.
It's Meals on Wheels.
1 in 6 seniors faces the threat of hunger, and millions more live in isolation. Drop off a hot meal and say a quick hello. Volunteer for Meals on Wheels by donating your lunch break at americaletsdolunch.org. This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
Blood drives are a significant event. 4.5 million people need a transfusion each year. 1 out of 7 people entering a hospital need blood, and only 37% of the United States population is eligible to donate blood. It only takes about an hour to save a life. Even 1 pint of blood can save up to 3 people's lives. So, if you want to help, please visit redcrossblood.org to set up an appointment today.
You are now turned in to the dopest college radio station, UCM The Beat. Keep it locked. UCM The Beat.
Hey guys, welcome back to Inside the Diamond. Let's talk about power rankings according to MLB.com. As I said before, we had a lot of teams go up and down this week. And number one is the Atlanta Braves. Last week they were number two in the... Last week they were number two in the power rankings. And the Rays winning streak is old news. The cool streaking team now is the Braves, who went 6-0 this week. They swept both the Reds and the Royals. The Braves currently have 3 players with an OPS of over 1,000. Matt Olson, Ronald Acuna Jr., and the team's leader in that category is Sean Murphy, who is getting on base at a 446 clip. 446! They also have a top 10 pitching staff right now, and they've got another fun series set up to start the week against the Padres in San Diego, but it's the Padres. Who should be afraid? Because the Braves are already rolling with a win yesterday against the Padres, they are now on a 7-game winning streak. And number two is the Tampa Bay Rays, and the Rays dropped last week from number one. 5-2 week ends up dropping you a spot in the rankings, unfortunately, even with the 2 losses on the road against the Blue Jays, who are one of the best teams in baseball. But it was Shane McClanahan who ended the Rays' 2-game skid. Of course, to be fair, I don't really think you can call 2 losses a skid, for that matter, if you're starting 13-0. But Shane McClanahan is now 4-0 this year with a 1.57 ERA. A 1.57 ERA is pretty good for the first 4 starts. The Blue Jays are at number 3, and last week they were number 7. That's a pretty significant climb, for sure. And I'll tell you how to soar up in the rankings. You beat the team that has won 13 in a row to start the season. And the Blue Jays are a pretty good team, you know. Like I said, they have hitters like Matt Chapman is off to a fantastic start. Vlad Jr. is off to a scorching start, as well as Bo Bichette, Kevin Biggio, George Springer. You name it, they're off to a hot start. At number four is the New York Yankees, and they didn't really move any from last week. But it's not easy to keep pace in the AL East, but unfortunately, a series split with the Twins is not going to get you anywhere. If you would have won this series, I think MLB.com would have put them a little bit higher, but not that much. At number five is the Houston Astros, and I'm not really surprised by that. The Astros looked like their old selves this past week. You know, they scored 9 runs against the Rangers one day. They scored 9 runs against the Blue Jays yesterday, which is fairly good. The Blue Jays and the Phillies are at home. Their next 4 opponents are all teams that reached the playoffs last year. The Blue Jays and the Phillies at home, and the Braves and the Rays on the road. This is going to be a very tough series, and they are going to have to prove that they want to be in the top contender. And number 6 of the Milwaukee Brewers last week, they were number 8. I got to agree with that, because the Brewers, if you win a series against the Padres, I think you much well deserve to be moved up in the power rankings. At number 7 is the Los Angeles Dodgers, and I'm flabbergasted by the Dodgers this year. What is going on with them, dude? They are 8-9, and currently, they are not doing too well in the division. The division is pretty solid. Yet somehow, they are in second place in the NL West with an under 500 record. And guess who is in front of them? The Arizona Diamondbacks. How in the world are the Diamondbacks this good? Did I underestimate them? Maybe. You never know. Although it's still early on in the season, I think the Dodgers are going to click once they get the pitching and hitting going at the same time. And number 8 is the Minnesota Twins. When you split a series against the Yankees, I think you pretty much deserve to be a top 10 team. And that's exactly what they were. And number 9 is the New York Mets. The Mets had a pretty solid week. And number 10 is the San Diego Padres. And the Padres were number 5 in last week's power rankings. The Guardians didn't move at number 11. The Rangers moved up 6 spots at number 12. And number 13, the Angels were number 15 last week, and they're 13 this week, so that's a solid start. The Orioles are number 16. Were number 16 last week, and they're 14 this week, so that's a pretty solid. Most teams really jumped only 2 spots. Some of them jumped 5. Some of them jumped 6. At number 15 is the Mariners. They were number 14 last week, so they jumped up. They actually went down 1, which unfortunately is not helping them at all. At number 17 is the St. Louis Cardinals, and they dropped 5 spots from 12 to 17. Number 18 is the Chicago Cubs. They were 21 last week, and they're 18 this week, which I gotta like that, you know. The Pirates are at number 19. Last week, they were number 24 in the rankings, and that's a pretty significant climb for them. Especially, you know, they beat the Rockies yesterday. They beat the Cardinals a couple times. They lost the series to the Cardinals, but they were able to get back into the win column. At number 20 is the Philadelphia Phillies. Number 21 is the Chicago White Sox, who dropped from 17 to 21. Number 22 is the Boston Red Sox. They didn't move at all. Number 23 is the Miami Marlins. They also did not move. And number 24 is the San Francisco Giants. They went down by 5 spots to last week. They were number 19. This week, they're number 24. The Reds didn't move at all. The Rockies jumped up 1. The Royals went down 1. And the Tigers, Nationals, and Athletics did not move whatsoever. They were 27, 28, 29, and 30. 30 was the Oakland Athletics. The Oakland Athletics are actually, right now, the worst team in baseball. Guys, that's going to do for Power Rankings, and we're going to take a quick break coming up. I'll be talking about the Royals games that happened this week, and I'll answer more listener questions because you guys really liked it. You guys really seem to like that. Keep it locked in right here. Once again, you're listening to Inside the Diamond on UCM The Beat.
In 2020, men died by suicide 3.88 times more than women. That number is way too high. That's why the National Suicide Prevention Hotline is available to all men. Call 988 if you are struggling. You're not alone. There is help.
1 in 9 people worldwide go to bed hungry each night. That's why UCM students and faculty are encouraged to visit the UCM Campus Cupboard. Campus Cupboard is a volunteer-based charity dedicated to alleviating hunger and financial burdens in the UCM community. Any UCM faculty, staff member, or student who presents a valid ID may select 10 items per week from Campus Cupboard. Campus Cupboard is located in the lower level of the UCM Student Rec and Wellness Center and is open Tuesday through Thursday from 3 to 5:30 p.m.
UCM The Beat, the one and only radio station of the University of Central Missouri.
Guys, welcome back to Inside the Diamond. Let's talk about the Royals this week. And oh boy, did they ever struggle to get runs. Let's talk about that this week. The Royals scored 3 runs on Friday and Saturday. They scored 4 runs on Sunday, which is pretty solid for the most part. If the ever so choking Scott Barlow did not blow it. But they were really close to winning. They scored 10 runs against the Rangers on Wednesday, and that was pretty much the only highlight of the week. They went 1-5, and that was pretty pathetic. Let's move on to the listener questions, and you guys really seem to like this segment, so I'm going to keep on going with it. What was the Royals' record last week? And I'm going to say this again. Their record was 1-5. Another question, did Tampa Bay lose this past week? And the answer is yes, they did. They lost 2 of their 3 games to the Toronto Blue Jays. They lost yesterday to the Cincinnati Reds. They actually got shut out by them. I was pretty shocked by that result. I thought the Rays were going to do good, but I think they're going to get back in the win column tonight. Do you think the Royals are being too aggressive at the plate? Another question. Well, let's take a look at the Royals' batting averages so far this season, and they're not that pretty. They're not really striking out that much. I mean, yesterday they struck out 10 times. They only walked twice, so I do think they're being a little bit too aggressive at the plate, but they're not exactly selective either with their pitches. Let's take a look at these averages first. Bobby Wood Jr. hitting .262. He's starting to heat up a little bit. MJ Melendez hitting .158. I think he could be doing a little bit better. Vinny Pasquantino's hitting .255. That's not very good. I mean, that's not terrible, but it's not good either. The captain for the Royals, Salvador Perez, is hitting .219. Kyle Isbell's hitting .217, and you guys can probably see where I'm going with this. The averages are just not that good. Matt Duffy yesterday was 1-for-3, and he was the only Royal to get a hit. The only Royal to get a hit. And he's not even an everyday player. He's a backup third baseman. Oh, it gets worse, unfortunately. Hunter Dozier hitting .154. .154. The dude is overrated. I really think, and I'm going to get to this later, he needs to be traded. Either needs to be traded or designated for assignment. I can't stand him anymore. Nicky Lopez is hitting .200, which is right around where he should be. And Nate Eaton, don't even get me started. Nate Eaton, you are hitting, get this, guys, this is absolutely horrible. He's hitting .045. And he's still in the majors. He is 1-for-22 this year. I mean, he's 1-for-22 this year with 12 strikeouts. Why is he still up here, guys? What are we doing? And actually, I think here's a suggestion for the Royals. If you want to get a downtown stadium, produce a winning product. Stop worrying about the downtown stadium and start focusing on winning. Okay, I'm done ranting for now, guys. How have the starters done for the Royals? They've actually done pretty well for the most part. Aside from Brady Singer last week, who unfortunately was very hittable. He was leaving pitches over the middle of the plate. He went 5 innings, gave up 10 hits, 8 runs, no walks, and 8 strikeouts with 4 home runs allowed. His ERA jumped from 4.91 to 7.88. If the starter can go 6 innings, that really puts a dampener on the bullpen. The bullpen, actually, this year has been pretty solid. I'm going to admit, I've been pretty impressed with the bullpen. Aroldis Chapman is getting back to his old form, hitting 100 miles an hour consistently. But the starters are solid enough. How have the closers done this week? Well, I can tell you one closer who struggled this week. Scott Barlow struggled. For a closer, you're supposed to be good. You're supposed to come in and close the game. But he unfortunately ended up with a loss on Wednesday, courtesy of a Jonah Heim home run. And I honestly think, from a Royals fan perspective, I think that Aroldis Chapman needs to be the closer. He has big league experience. Now, I know Scott Barlow has big league experience. He was the closer last season as well. But he is looking to be very hittable this year. He is not throwing as hard as he once did. He used to throw 96 to 97. Now he's only 91, 92 on his fastball. That's going to get you hit around in the big leagues, as well as not throwing that many. When you can't throw strikes, it really puts a dampener on your confidence level, and that's not good. How many home runs did the Royals hit last week? Oh, boy. The Royals hit a whopping 2 home runs. How many home runs did they give up? Well, that's a good question. Let's look at it. On Friday, they gave up 4 home runs. Actually, scratch that, they gave up 5 home runs. On Wednesday, they only gave up 1, which was pretty solid. On Tuesday, they only gave up 1 home run, so that's 5 so far. On Saturday, they gave up 1 home run, which I think the pitchers need to do better. The Royals gave up 6 home runs. 6 home runs in the Braves series compared to a crap ton in the Rangers series. Moving on to the next question, who were the MVP players this week? And that's a very good question. I think for the AL, I'm going to go with Bobby Witt Jr. He had a very solid week. He started off hitting under the Mendoza line, which for those of you who don't know, the Mendoza line is 200. He was hitting under 200 for a long time, and he finally got back up. He's up to 262 now, which is not too bad for him. How many stolen bases were there this week? That's a good question. The Royals had 4 stolen bases this week. Not too bad. Were there any complete games this week? Actually, yes, there were. There was one that in particular that I'm going to talk about. Gerrit Cole for the New York Yankees had a complete game. He struck out 10 hitters yesterday. He pitched yesterday and he pitched a complete gem. He even made history yesterday. He struck out 10 hitters, only gave up 2 hits too, which is pretty solid overall. And Garrett Cole actually, he's doing well this year. He's 4-0 so far with a 0.95 ERA, and that's overall pretty solid. I mean, you know, if you have an ERA of under 1 in the first month, that's pretty good. Who were the best teams this week? Number 1, Atlanta Braves. Number 2, I'm going to go with the Tampa Bay Rays because they were 5-2 this week. That's not too bad. But the Braves were 6-0 last week, and they swept the Reds and the Royals. Of course, sweeping the Reds isn't really that much of an accomplishment because the Reds are not doing well without Joey Votto. They're not doing well with him, probably. Who were the worst teams this week? Number 1, Royals. 1-5 record this week is pathetic. I mean, I expected better from them, but you don't always get what you want. And honestly, from a fan's perspective, I have no expectations for them at all this year. I had high hopes for them, but after seeing them this week, I don't know, to be honest with you. Explain OPS. So for those of you who don't know, OPS is on-base percentage plus slugging. On-base percentage . So let's say, for example, it's the sum of a player's on-base percentage, like basically how many times they get on base per game. So let's say they went 1-for-4 and got on base twice with a walk. There would be 400 because a walk technically doesn't count as a plate appearance. And the slugging percentage is pretty good. It's basically the ability of a player to both to get on base and to hit for power, which are very two important skills. Let's move on to the Mike Sumler questions. And Mike Sumler is currently in Mexico. Hope he's having fun. Hope he's doing well. Hope he's not sunburned, at least. Who are some of the call-ups you see the Royals doing this year? I see them calling up maybe Jackson Coar later on in the season to maybe get some bullpen depth in the bullpen, because Lord knows they need it. I see maybe Dylan Coleman coming back up at some point during the season once he gets the mechanical issues fixed up. And he even admitted he is having mechanical issues. And he admitted he needs help down there. Why are the Angels struggling this early? And I can answer this directly without even looking it up. I think it's the pitching. The bullpen is just blowing games left and right. When the bullpen can't hold a lead for the starter, it hurts when your best pitcher is Shohei Ohtani, who is a fantastic two-way player, by the way, and getting comparisons to Babe Ruth. But fun fact for those of you who don't know, although he's getting comparisons to Babe Ruth, you have to remember, Babe Ruth was only a two-way player for 2 seasons. Shohei Ohtani has done it for 3 seasons, and he's absolutely dominating. Which teams have surprised you this year? And I think one team that has surprised me this year, the Pittsburgh Pirates. I did not expect them to be 10-7, 17 games in, but that just shows where my expectations are. I did not expect the Rays to do much of anything, but they're a solid team. And the reason I say that is not because of the pitching, it's because of the lineup. But the lineup has produced pretty well so far. I'm embarrassed for the Dodgers. I'm embarrassed by them. I mean, how in the world are they 8-9? I think I can answer this one straightforwardly. The hitting and the pitching are not on the same page. What are the Royals planning to do with Hunter Dozier? Trade him. I don't even care. I'm done with him. I am so sick of him. I don't even know why the Royals signed him to a 4-year contract extension before the 2021 season. But, hey, I'm not the general manager. That's going to do it for the listener questions. Thank you so much, everyone. Keep on sending them in. If you want any more information on baseball or what's happening in the league, we're going to take another quick break. Coming up, I'll be talking about the series coming up this week for the teams and who I think will win each one. And I'll give you the starting lineup for tonight's game against the Texas Rangers. You're listening to Inside the Diamond on UCM The Beat.
Did you know that millions of animals are either abused or abandoned every year in the United States? Donate to your local animal shelter today. And if you have room in your home, why not adopt a furry little friend to add to your family? Be a part of the change. Be a part of saving a helpless animal's life.
Hey everybody, Rachel Ray here. Nothing puts a bigger smile on my face than cooking up a big meal for family and friends. But there's not enough room at my table for the 17 million kids in America who are struggling with hunger. These children, that's one out of every five, often have to skip meals because there's just nothing to eat in the kitchen. Yet there's more than enough healthy, nutritious food produced right here in America to feed every last hungry child. If only there was a way to get it to them. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks collects surplus food to give hope to hungry kids and their families all across our country. But they can't do it without your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America at your local food bank and at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hey, America, we need to have a little talk. I don't know if you've noticed, but we got a lot of food in this country. A lot of peaches, a lot of corn, a lot of apples, a lot of everything. We've got so much food that we can't even eat it all. So if we got all this extra food, how are 17 million kids in America struggling with hunger? I just don't get it. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks gathers surplus food and gets it to the hungry kids who need it. They can get you food even if you live in Idaho or Alaska or somewhere crazy like that. This isn't complicated. We got extra food and we've got hungry kids. Feeding America's done the math. Now it's your turn. Support Feeding America in your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. I know you got internet on your phone, so what are you waiting for? We can't do it without your help. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
All right, everybody in the car, let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing, too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already?
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Time in the making, but it's finally here.
UCM The Beat.
Hey guys, welcome back to Inside the Diamond. This is the last segment of the eighth episode, and first off, let's give you the divisional standings as of this week. The Minnesota Twins are leading the AL Central in first place at 10-6. The Tampa Bay Rays are leading the AL East at 14-3, and they are the best team in baseball as of right now, with an .824 winning percentage. That's pretty impressive. That's super, actually. The Texas Rangers are in first place in the AL West at 10-6. That's not too shabby, I'd say. In the NL East, the Braves are leading at 13-4, to nobody's surprise. The AL Central is not being led by the Cubs or the Pirates, but it's being led by the Milwaukee Brewers, which is pretty shocking, I gotta be honest. The Arizona Diamondbacks are in first place in the NL West at 10-7. The rest of the NL West is under 500. The Dodgers are one game under 500. The Padres are two games under. The Giants are 5 games under, and nobody surprised the Rockies are in last place at 5-12. That's not very good. Let's move on to the series for this week, and we actually have some score updates for you. And the Tigers have beaten the Guardians 4-3, courtesy of a walk-off home run by Kerry Carpenter. And that puts them, once again, they won. So the Phillies and the White Sox are currently warming up. The pitching matchup is Lance Lynn against Zach Wheeler. I think I'm going to take Zach Wheeler in this matchup easily because here's the thing. Zach Wheeler is more dominant than Lance Lynn. Lance Lynn's like 35 years old at this point. He's a dinosaur. The Cincinnati Reds are taking on the Tampa Bay Rays tonight, and I'm going to go with the Tampa Bay Rays to win this game as well as their series finale tomorrow because I think the Rays are going to bounce back. You know, yes, the Reds scored 8 runs yesterday, but they missed an opportunity. I'm taking the Royals tonight, and I'm also taking them tomorrow, and no, it's not because I'm biased. It's because I feel like Brad Keller's on the mound tonight against Nathan Eovaldi, and Eovaldi really struggled in his last outing. Brad Keller was stellar, as always. Tomorrow, the pitching matchup is Martin Perez against Brady Singer, and once again, I'm going to go with the Royals on that one. Brady Singer's going to have a bounce-back start. The Giants and the Marlins, I think I'm going to go with the Marlins today, and I'll tell you why. Because I am concerned about the Giants without Jock Peterson. And with them losing a series to the Tigers, I'm pretty concerned about them. So I'm taking the Marlins tonight and tomorrow. The Orioles and the Nationals tonight, Dean Kramer against Josiah Gray. And I think I'm going to take the Baltimore Orioles because the Nationals are not hitting that well right now. Their pitching is not very good either. Their starter is Josiah Gray, who is 0-3 with a 4.32 ERA, and that ERA is way too high for me. The Angels and the Yankees, this is going to be a good series, folks. I'm telling you. Aaron Judge against Shohei Ohtani, two of the best players in the entire MLB. But here's the thing. The Yankees are I'm taking the Yankees to beat the Angels. I think they're going to win the first two and then lose the last one. The Angels have a good lineup for sure, but they're not as power heavy as the Yankees are. The Diamondbacks and the Cardinals, I think I'm going to go with the Arizona Diamondbacks tonight because of who their starter is. Their starter tonight is 2-0 with a 1.46 ERA, and it's Dre Jameson, it's not a bad start to the season. Jordan Montgomery on the mound tonight for the Cardinals. He's 2-1 with a 2.45. The Blue Jays and the Astros, I think I'm going to take the Toronto Blue Jays, even though Chris Bassitt, who is 1-2 with a 7.63 ERA this year, is on the mound tonight. But he could bounce back from his last start. Pirates and Rockies, I think I'm going to take the Pirates easily on that one. The Cubs and the Athletics, Marcus Stroman is on the mound tonight for the Cubs. I'm going to take the Cubs easily. The Braves and the Padres, I'm taking the Atlanta Braves once again because Blake Snell has struggled so far this year, and he's on the mound tonight. He's 0-2 with a 6.92 ERA compared to Spencer Strider, who's on the mound tonight for the Braves. He's 1-0 with a 3.38. For the Brewers and the Mariners, Colin Ray is on the mound against Logan Gilbert, and this is a pretty tough one. I got to be honest, because both of these pitchers are dominating so far. Rea has a 0-0 record, but his ERA is under 2. It's 1.59 to be exact, which is pretty solid. Logan Gilbert is on the mound tonight for the Mariners, and they are making up their game from actually, scratch that. Moving on, the Mets and the Dodgers. Clayton Kershaw's on the mound tonight for the Dodgers, and I think I'm going to go with the Dodgers tonight. That's going to do it for this episode, folks. Thank you so much for tuning in. Remember, next week I'll be talking about the power rankings once again. I'll also be answering more listener questions. I'll recap the series from this past week. And have a great week, everybody. And as always, let's go Royals!